So we are commanded as God's children to be alert and ponder soberly because Satan wants to take over your thoughts. He wants to take over your pondering. In fact, he loves your pondering, especially when you're pondering negatively. Proverbs 15:13 says, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but a sorrowful heart, the heart of the spirit is crushed. We are commanded to ponder joyfully and gratefully so that we don't get down and depressed.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached from Luke chapter 2, verse 19 in his sermon titled, Pondering. And now, Brother Mark.
Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Entitled this message, Pondering. Beginning in verse 1 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed. And this taxing was first made in Cyrenius, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that they heard, it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, and his name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Luke 2:23, and Joseph and Mary marveled, pondered at those things which were spoken of him. Verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one named Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fasting and prayers day and night. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, no matter what wise people say all over the world, your truth stands. No matter how great they think their wisdom is, your wisdom is greater. Lord, I thank you that we can hold the truth in our hands, that we can read the truth, that we can take the truth and put it in our heart. And Lord, that we know that you have written these words down to us so that we may be your people. And so that we may share the gospel with a world of darkness. Lord, may your Spirit move in a mighty way in this place. May it move in a mighty way across the Facebook live stream. May it move in a mighty way through the podcast. And Lord, may it move in a mighty way across the FM radio wave. That you may be exalted, that you may be lifted up, that people may know that you're looking for them, and they may seek you. For you say, Lord, if we seek you, we will find you. Lord, I can't think of a better present this Christmas season than finding you. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'll pull two passages out of there, out of that text. Luke 2:19, it says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And in Luke 2:33, it says, "And Joseph and his mother Mary marveled or pondered at those things which were spoken of him." Can you imagine Mary? And the things that took place in her life as she gave birth to the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the light that was sent forth by God to live among us. And that all these things that was told of her by Simeon, and all these things that was told to her by Anna, And as she took all them things in and she thought about them, it says she pondered them in her heart. The art of pondering. Pondering is not jumping from farm pond to farm pond with a fishing pole or a frog gig. Pondering, according to Merriam-Webster, is to weigh in your mind, or to think about, or to reflect upon. Do you ever catch yourself pondering? Do you all ponder? I ponder. I hope you ponder. You probably do. Sometimes you just don't think about your pondering, but we all ponder, right? We ponder as we're driving down the road. We ponder as we're sitting in the house. We ponder while we're listening to the preacher preach a message. There's all kinds of pondering that's going on. And I want to categorize some of the ponderings that we have. I want to put them in three classes. I think there's positive pondering, there's negative pondering, and then there's just plain useless pondering. And I think we all do all of these, right? I believe the older we get, the more we ponder before we engage in activity. Amen? We learn to ponder well, because when we don't ponder and we just engage in the activity, usually that's when we get in trouble. And with much trouble and much age comes much wisdom, right? And so we learn from our mistakes, hopefully, and we learn to ponder a little better before we engage in activity. But let's talk about positive pondering first. We're all commanded as children of God to ponder in a positive way. Philippians 4:8 says it this way, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, ponder on these things." Think on these things, the Bible says. You know, when we're thinking about things, we need to think about things in a positive light, because Satan, the devil, wants us to think negatively. He wants to put thoughts in our head that are destructive. He wants to put thoughts in our head that are against other people, that don't encourage them, that don't lift them up. He wants to destroy us and those around us. And that's his plan. So we need to capture every thought. Colossians 3:1 and 2 says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth." So we're commanded as God's children to ponder heavenly things. Ponder heavenly things. Proverbs 4:20 and 23 says, "My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep in your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart comes all the issues of life." Out of your ponderings come all the issues of your life. Did you know that your ponderings guide your life? You had to think about that for a minute. Think about Mary as she was pondering all the things that the angel had told her, all the things that Simeon told her, all the things that Anna told her, and think about her pondering her life as it's going to unfold from that point forward. We are commanded as God's children to ponder the Word of God. Luke 14:28 and 30 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost to see if you have enough money to finish it? Unless after you have laid the foundation, you are not able to finish, and people begin to mock you, saying, 'You begin to build, but you were not able to finish.'" We are commanded as God's children to ponder practically. You know, to use the wisdom that God bestowed upon us in order that we might think things through and do things in the best way that possible. The Benham brothers, who I sent out a deal here a while back, they said, in order to succeed in life, you must focus your attention on your intention. You can have the best intentions in the world, but if your attention is focused elsewhere, your intentions will never get off the ground. You have to focus your attention on your intentions. And if your focus of your attention is on God, and your intention is to serve Him, you will succeed in serving God. But if your attention is on the things of this world, and your intentions are to serve God, you will fail, because your attention is not focused in the right place. Let's talk about negative pondering. This is the most dangerous of all ponderings. We should never do this. Although we do this a lot, it is something that we should steer clear of. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and think soberly. You have to ponder soberly, you know. Don't ponder like a drunkard. Ponder in a right mind, with God's word in your mind, in your heart, with the attentions placed on God, with your intentions to serve Him, so that your pondering is sober. Because the enemy, the devil, is prowling around seeking to eat somebody alive. That's what the Bible says. So we are commanded as God's children to be alert and ponder soberly, because Satan wants to take over your thoughts. He wants to take over your pondering. In fact, he loves your pondering, especially when you're pondering negatively. Proverbs 15:13 says, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but a sorrowful heart, the heart of the spirit, is crushed. We are commanded to ponder joyfully and gratefully so that we don't get down and depressed. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. You see, we can't ponder using our own thoughts and ways. We have to ponder using God's thoughts and ways, and we're commanded to do so. John 8:44 says, Satan was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his own language, for he is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. We are commanded to steer clear of Satan's lies. How do you know if it's Satan speaking to you or God speaking to you? Well, you check it. You check it against the Word of God. If what is speaking to you in your heart is contradictory to the Word of God, that's not God. God never contradicts His Word. He always complements His Word. So you know, that's why we have the Word of God. That's why we're told to read the Word of God, is so we know what the Word of God is, so that we know if the voice is telling us to do something that's against the Word of God, we know that's not God's voice. We know that's not the Holy Spirit. So we steer clear of that, and we say, get away from me, Satan. And the Bible says if you say that, Satan will flee from you. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're commanded to check our ponderings at the door and make sure they're of God and not of ourselves. So let's talk about useless pondering. You ever have useless pondering? Says, well, what is that? Well, I've got some ideas about useless pondering. It's just pondering for the sake of pondering. You know, you never sit and not think about something. Your mind is always thinking about something. You know, someone will say, what are you thinking about? And you say, oh, nothing. You weren't thinking about nothing. You're always thinking about something. It might not be something that you don't want to tell that you're thinking about. But we're always thinking about something. Here's some of the useless ponderings that might go on in my mind, and I'm going to share some of them with you. I hope it don't scare you off. If I died tomorrow, what would I do today? Yeah, we think. You ever think that way? If I was to die today or tomorrow, what would I do today differently if I knew that fact? You know, that's kind of useless pondering because we really don't think we're going to die tomorrow, right? We don't know, but we don't think we are. We're just thinking. We're just pondering. Okay. Here's another one. If I could start all over, what would I change? Just some useless pondering, I'm thinking. If I could change one thing in the world, what would it be? Well, I answered that one right off. It's like the president, for one. So, you know, sometimes it's not useless pondering, but really there's nothing I can do about that other than just pray about it, right? So it's kind of just useless pondering. If I could choose to live anywhere in the world, where would I live? I'm not moving, so just kind of thinking, pondering. If I could have any car I wanted, what would I choose? Some of you have already pondered this one out. Well, I have too. You know, I would choose a 63 candy apple red Corvette. I'm not going to get one, so it's kind of useless pondering, but it's fun. If I could be famous, what would I want to be famous for? If I had one wish, what would I wish for? If I could have any job I wanted, what would be my occupation? Here's a good one. If I could have one superpower, which one would I choose? How about you? Which one? I know which one Lori would choose. She would choose to fly. She likes flying. She always says, I always wanted to fly. You know, fly around. How about X-ray vision? I wouldn't want that one. How about super hearing? How about speed? You could run faster. How about strength? Super strength. Ponderings. If you were given a choice like Solomon, and God said, you can have anything you ask for, would you ask for wisdom? Would you ask for power? Or would you ask for to be famous? What would you ask for? Would you ask for wealth? If you were told by an angel that you would be the mother and father of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, what would you do? Would you run? Would you kneel? Would you ponder that for a while, or would you just say, no way? What would you say? Think about all the things that happened to Mary and Joseph. Two ordinary people. An ordinary couple. Engaged to be married. And God sent an angel to Mary and said, Mary, you are going to be great with child. And it's going to be my child, God said. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive a son and he will be my son. And you will call his name Jesus. And she said, oh my. And pondered. in things. And then she went to Joseph and told him, and Joseph said, oh my, I'm going to have to put her away secretly so that nobody knows, because she's been with someone else and we're engaged. And then the angel come and told him the truth, just as Mary had told him, and he had to ponder that. And he had to say, okay, God, whatever you want. And he followed through with the engagement and married her. And they had the Son of God together. Think of the ponderings of Joseph and Mary. Think of the ponderings when Mary and Joseph and were with Simeon, and Simeon went crazy over seeing the Christ child, and he said, oh, the Christ child is finally here. I can go ahead and pass away in peace. Because God had told me many years ago that I wouldn't die until I'd seen him. And now I've seen him. And Mary's like, oh, that the angel told me. And now we've had the child, and here's the child, and he's recognized the child. This is a God thing. You know, things like that just don't happen. Then Anna, in her confirmation of the Savior of the world, Anna was way up there in age, right? 84 and 7. And more. In her hundreds, probably. That's some pretty powerful pondering, isn't it? Have you ever had to ponder such a task as that, that God laid upon you? I haven't. And when God called me to preach, it was like, I kind of dodged that for a while. I kind of put that away, but I didn't ever quit pondering it. And God never quit asking. He just kept on. Well, we've made it through Christmas. And I'm so glad that Mary and Joseph pondered through that, and they decided to do what God wanted. And now the new year's upon us. So we don't come with a conclusion, but we come with an inclusion. An inclusion of including Jesus in the new year that's coming. So 2022 is upon us. So where will your ponderings lead you next year? You know your ponderings guide your life, right? We said that. In fact, we can back that up with the Bible, because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Right? The way you think, the way you ponder, guides your life. Your circumstances don't defeat you, but your spiritual pondering towards those circumstances can defeat you. Problems and blessings in life are inevitable, right? Jesus said, hey, I had problems in this world, so will you. They're coming. You're going to have problems and you're going to have blessings, right? And as a child of God, we know that God knows what he's doing, right? He's got us in his hand. He knows every circumstance that's coming our way. He knows how we're going to react to it. And he's using them circumstances to help guide us if we ponder in the right way. Okay? So we align our pondering biblically, spiritually, so that every circumstance that comes our way, we go through the door the right direction when we come out of it. And we're moving in the way God wants us to move. The big things that God asks us to do are things that we are not capable of doing. Therefore, God gets the glory. But know this, God won't ask you to do any big thing until you do the little things that He called you to do. After you get saved, the first thing that God asks you to do is to follow through in this baptismal water, making a testimony to the world what happened to you on the inside. There are many people who are babes in Christ who are still on milk and toast because they've never went through the baptismal waters. They've never done the first thing that God called them to do. And so therefore, God's never told them to do anything else because they weren't faithful with the little things. God calls us to be faithful in all the things that He wants us to do. And when we're faithful, then He gives us more to do. And you might say, well, I don't really want more to do. Yeah, I've been there. But you know what? When God gives it to us, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It's the things that we try to do on our own or the things that we try to do that someone else is supposed to be doing that causes us to be burdened and have the heavy yoke. But listen, God's not going to ask you to be the mother or father of His child. You can count that one off. You don't have to worry about that because Jesus already came as a baby. And Jesus is coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He won't come again as a baby. So you don't have to worry about being the mother or father of God's Son. Now, God might call you to go to the deepest, darkest part of Africa. And I was preaching that one time while I was supply preaching at this church. And I said, people are scared. You don't have to worry. God's not going to call you to go to the deepest, darkest part of Africa and be a missionary and get your head cut off. And I was shaking hands as people was leaving the church. And this one couple come through and says, oh, it's good to meet you. And says, well, who are you all? And says, we were missionaries in the deepest, darkest part of Africa where there was headhunters. It's like, oh, no, you're kidding me. No, they were. They really were. But you know what? God might ask you to step up in your church and do some work in 2022. God might ask you to help a single parent or an abandoned youth. Or God might ask you to steer a soul who's looking for Him. What will your ponderings be like in 2022 when God says, will you? Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, I just pray that when You speak to us, we say, yes, Lord. That You might manifest Yourself in us. You might manifest Yourself in our lives, that You might manifest Yourself in our words, that You might manifest Yourself in our actions, that people may find You as You look for them. Lord, I pray that You would grow our church in 2022, that You would grow us individually as Your members, that You would add to our numbers, that You would guide us and direct us that we might follow You. And Lord, that this church would become the light in Calhoun that You want it to be. That people might see it as a safe place. That people might see it as a place where You are. That You're inhabiting this place. That Your Spirit lives here. And Lord, that people might feel welcome here, that they might want to come here and hear about You and sing about You and worship You in this place. Lord, may our altar be frequented. May our baptismal be full of water. May our hearts be full of joy. And may you be exalted in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to be singing page 307.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.